Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We barely made it today by the skin of our teeth. We had a power outage. And fortunately, I have a lot of redundancy and backup powers and uninterrupted power supplies. But anyway, we made it. We survived the weekend, and we hope you did too. So I'm a little out of breath because I was literally running around trying to figure out what the cause was. So anywho, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that will give you the actual solution to getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And so with that, the number to call in is 215-867-8255. The other thing I wanted to point out, because I know it's been a long time, I know it's been a long time since I've kind of gone through some of these things. So let me kind of go through some of the reasons why I do things. And the real reason behind this show is to support those state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. We really don't care. We're not focused on the national government. There's a reason for that. And you need to understand that in the grand scheme of things, the federal government is shackled to tyranny, because if you look at the process, if you look at the swamp, they can't do anything. They're literally controlled by lobbyists. They're literally controlled by globalists. And so if we're going to break out, if we're going to fix D.C., and Obama was correct when he stated you cannot fix D.C. from within. He knew that. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to lock it down so tight from outside D.C. with communism and so forth that it's literally forcing the conversion of our republic into a globalist state. So as we support these state legislators, the reason why we're focused on them is due to the fact that they have the authority over the Constitution when it comes down to enforcement. It is their contract. They have the ability to step in at any point in time. It was truly divine providence that the sovereignty over the Constitution was granted to the states, because they are perpetual entities. If everything was reliant upon the people at the time, then as they died, the controls and everything else would be changing. It would be like an estate that would move on. But the fact that the United States, or I should say all 50 states, are perpetual entities, they continue to exist. It's just like a corporation. And so as I've talked to a few people, and when people start looking at the whole concept of corporations and how the federal government has gone down that path, it is a misnomer to understand or to think that what they're doing is within the boundaries of the Constitution, because it is not. So again, this show is really dedicated to helping and supporting those who are willing to protect their citizens from federal tyranny, because if they're protecting their citizens, that means that they're protecting all of us, because even if it's Wyoming, those great men and women that will be standing up to protect their state means that they're also protecting all of the rest of the states. Because when you stand up for one, you stand up for all. Another thing I kind of go through, and you're going to hear, you know, every once in a while, I talk about my three C's. I go by GR. So if you know me, my first C is confidentiality. Please just refer to me as GR, especially in the public forum. The second C is civil. I just ask that, you know, if you want to call in, you disagree with me, just be civil. If you're not civil, then you unleash my ability to be uncivil to you. And I would rather not have that happen. And B, or C, or three in this case, be concise. And so the third C would be just try to get to your point as fast as possible. That way we can kind of move on to something bigger and greater and or another point you may have or what have you. I also want to point out that we do have the crowdfunding set up. You can go to GoFundMe and you can look, and I need to get that data updated so that you know exactly what we're out of for the trip up to Wyoming for meeting and speaking with the state party. I'll hopefully get that up there this week. And as soon as I do, I will let you know. But if you want to help support our travel and our costs, because it costs money to go to these places, then by all means, because it costs money to do this, it costs money to do all these little things that I am doing. And so I would just ask that if you are looking to, you know, help contribute, it doesn't take much. I mean, if you look at what it costs for us to go out there to Wyoming, it's not like we're taking a salary or anything. We're just looking to cover our costs. And so by all means, we will put up the next set of costs. And it'll probably have to be a flight to Cheyenne, because I think that's where the next meeting is going to be. But anyway, if you want to be a part and or contribute, you can go to GoFundMe. But you don't have to contribute with money. Like I started off this show basically saying, this is not about money. We really, if you don't have money, then that's fine. If you have time, you've got a computer, you have literacy with using a computer, you know how to call people, you got civility in talking to people, you can help. So all you've got to do is send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And I will get back to you. I promise you. If you send me an email, I'll usually get back to you within a day. And if not, I'll tell you why I couldn't get back to you. But I will get back to you as reasonably as fast as possible. And we'll actually have a conversation. Usually, if you want to give me your phone number and your email, then I will call you. And I will give you my business line. And we will start conversing and getting you on board to what and how you can kind of help the cause. There's research that needs to be done, and there is connections and so forth, and getting, so this is where kind of money does come involved, because we do need to start setting up PACs within these states. And if you kind of understand the nature of the beast, we have to get constitutional candidates elected. And if that means we've got to get rid of rhinos in these red states, it's going to take money. And so that's where we really have to spend money in getting good constitutional candidates in. And so we will eventually be asking for people to contribute to getting some of these Wyoming candidates and some of these Idaho and these other real red states. Because if we get this, started in these few states, I'm telling you that it will literally reach out to all these other states. That's how you got to start the avalanche with one flake, with one little snowball. And once it starts going, it will literally create a whole mountainside slide of snow. And there's no stopping this. This will literally force the dialogue, and it will force compliance, because that's what it's all about. Remember that C word, compliance. Say it with me, compliance. And so as I was getting ready for the show, and I went through the news and I got all these little constitutional perspectives on what's going on in the news. As I always do, I look to see if the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles and responsibilities. Well, guess what? It didn't do anything today in reeling back or peeling back any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what that means is it's still up to us, folks. And I'm going to tell you tomorrow it's going to be up to us as well. I do want to give you a little tickle, some things to look forward to. I'm going to have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber back on. We're going to be talking more about what's going on in China and this whole live organ harvesting and why this is important and how this kind of connects to the Communist Party and how the Communist Party has infiltrated throughout the entire world. And they're getting ready for a big power shift. And 2020 is when China will be done with its social credit system and what I basically call Big Brother. It is literally the beginning. And as a matter of fact, if you didn't know, China is breaking all the moral and ethical boundaries. They just literally claim to have the first gene-edited babies born in China. And so if you want to look into that, it's starting to get horrendous, because if you won't eat GMO foods, then how are you going to feel standing and working next to GMO people? Give that some thought. Give that to something to chew on. Cogitate on that one. I'm also going to have, I hope to have Aaron Tilbury on as well in the next month. And so in this coming month, I'm going to have quite a few different interviews with a lot of people who are fighting for liberty in one case or another. And Aaron Tilbury is literally fighting for the liberty of these young kids that are caught and trapped in the sex slave trafficking and trade. And so as we move forward, I'm hoping to also bring forward some actual leaders, whether they be barons of industry or captains of businesses and so forth. We want to have some more people coming in. And why is all this important? Because remember, for the past year, I've been telling you we have 2 to 5 years before all is lost. Well, that's changing, because this year is almost over. So next year, I'm going to be telling you that we've got one, because we got basically going into the election year and a few years beyond 2020. And I don't know if we will be able to sustain the tsunami of idiots and useful idiots. And I'll talk more about that when we get back from the break, because it is literally our education system that is going to be our demise. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors and promos. Thanks. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least 2 ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer 5 people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back, and as I was going into break, and actually as I was getting ready to start the show, I was literally a few rooms down and had to run all the way back, and that's, so I apologize. I was a little out of breath and a little fragmented in my speaking, but I've caught my breath now, and we're moving forward. So as I've been telling everybody, and nobody can argue this, that when you really look at the empirical data, the way the progressives have set up our system, it is designed to collapse. It's designed to collapse in a lot of different ways. But the first collapse is to lock in the ability for the progressives to have full control of the government. once they do that and they start handing out unlimited entitlements and actually spend us into oblivion to where we collapse, where we can no longer pay for socialism, then it instantly transitions into communism because they don't undo the government controls and they won't undo. When America jumps off that cliff and dives into the cesspool of communism, it is over. As Trevor Lawdon points out, if America goes, so goes the world. And he's not the only one. There's plenty of other people that are literally pointing to America saying, you've got to stop this. Please wake up, stop this. And so really, if you understand why it's 2 to 5 years, if you don't, let me give you some background on this. Go look at demographics. Go look at how many kids between now and 2030 are going to be coming of age and moving into the electoral process. It's 10 million every year for the next 12 years, going into 2030. 10 million. Now, the statistics through the Pew Research and everything else that I have seen is indicating that 70% of these kids moving into this electoral process. And as a matter of fact, I'll talk about this in just a minute, but many of these kids are all aligned and believe in socialism. The majority of all the white kids, I mean, even if you live in what you would consider a conservative area, you have lost this war because the education system's curriculum is designed to beat you. Again, I'm going to get into this, but I want you to understand that it's not just the kids. You got to understand this. There are illegal aliens that the borders are wide open. They're coming here for the entitlements. What do you think these people coming up from these different Central American and from around the world, why the Chinese are coming here and having babies? Because we created a system that would literally allow them to subvert our constitutional republic. You have to understand, and we've talked about this before, the 14th Amendment does not create anchor babies. It creates a system that ensures that those people who are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States obtain citizenship. And that was very relevant at the time of the Civil War. All of these people that are coming here, they are subjects to the jurisdiction of another state or country. They have no claim on citizenship. Their babies have no claim on citizenship. We've covered this several times. And so the fact that the progressives have completely obscured this to literally give away the most precious thing that we possess, and that is our citizenship, so that anybody and ever, they might as well just send ballots to China. They might as well start sending ballots to the rest of the world and say, tell us who we should have for president, because somehow you're associated to us. So you're technically a citizen as well, even though you don't even live here. That's exactly how the progressives would love to do it, because they know that we would be overrun and the Communist Party would literally be in full control here and it would be all over. If you don't understand who the Communist Party is, we've talked about this before. The Communist Party around the world is identified as the Labor Party. In America, they use a different term for the Labor Party. They don't call it the Communist Party or the Labor Party. They call it the Democrat Party. And as sad as that is, that we have this political alignment here in America where an institution such as the Democratic Party has embraced communism. It was written in the very beginning when Van Buren went down the path of creating that party, that they were the party of subjugation and big government control. And that's exactly what we've gotten from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. Big government and control. However, they didn't have the copyrights. They didn't have the reserves on this. When Teddy Roosevelt became president, he also became a progressive big government guy. And so from Teddy Roosevelt on, we've kind of created a uniparty. That uniparty, the groundwork for that was laid in the Civil War timeframe. But I am telling you that it really came to full fruition and it completely embraced communism with Teddy Roosevelt moving forward. So the real thing that I want to impress upon you, and I've got so much I want to get into. I want to get into SCOTUS's jurisdiction and John Marshall and how he claimed, how he spoke out of one side of his mouth during the ratification debates, and then later in very important hallmark cases, he spoke out of the other side of his mouth, just like Alexander Hamilton. And as far as I'm concerned, if you want to create a name, you know, a name for something, like, you know, there's a name for that. You know, like That's What She Said, which is a, shoot, I forget what they call that. A double entendre. So you could create a name for when somebody speaks out of both sides of their mouth, like a politician or what have you. You could just call that Hamilton. There goes a Hamilton right there. Because Hamilton was the master of literally speaking out of both sides of his mouth as far as American government, and he was critical. And I would say the one person that literally, as soon as he locked in the Constitution, he literally started fighting and subverting to undermine it. And so anyway, let me get into really what's very, very important. If you do not understand what is going on, if you do not understand what is at risk, it is your family, it is your community, and it is our livelihood, our liberty, and everything else. And so are you a parent? Do you have kids in the education system? Get them out. The education system is doing more damage and imposing upon our families. It's imposing upon our children, and it is imposing upon our society an ideology that is designed to undermine and destroy it. The progressives are using your kids as weapons. They are programming them to literally throw away their liberty and push this nation over the brink into communism. Get your kids out of school. If you have the ability, if you have one of your spouses, husband, wife, I don't know, don't care, if you can possibly homeschool your kids, get them out of school. I've got to get into some of these conversations that I've had, and I'm going to start with a good friend of mine that I've worked with, and I'd like to say I worked for him, but he worked for me. But as a manager and as a leader, you typically try to work for those who and make sure that they're as productive as possible, because that's your job as a leader. And so what I want to tell you is this good man has kids in the public school down in California, and he lives in a very conservative area, and people say, oh, those are good schools. Those schools have literally been indoctrinating his kids. And over the time, I believe it was Christmas time a few years back, it was probably 5-6 years back, he came to work, and he was really livid because his kid got suspended from school because he brought up Christ. And he's a good Catholic kid. And so they punished him, and there's no doubt in my mind, as he tried to address this, there's no doubt in my mind that the teacher used shame and used other tools throughout the school year to remind that kid, do you remember what you did? You'll never do that again. They are programming his kids. And so as he moved on and as this son of his grew up, he's now in high school. And I talked to him about 2 weeks ago. And his son is literally an enemy in his own home, because he looks at his parents as not with it. You know, that's typical, right? That's how it was when I grew up. But no, it's not just the not with it mentality. It is that he is lying and filling them with dogma. Where is he learning these facts of this dogma, this religious dogma that they're trying to fill him with? He's learning this from school. And as a matter of fact, it is a very common terminology that they've been using. And I'd invite you to go read Hillary's, what is that stupid book that she wrote? It Takes a Village. She literally talks about how as the state takes over your children at birth, because that's what she wants to do. She wants to create a department of babysitting. I talk about this in my books, that they literally want to own your children so that you cannot fill or impose upon them, fill their heads or impose upon them your religious dogma to program them contrary to what they want your kids to be programmed as. And so, in other words, our school system is more designed to actually be destructive and not preparing our kids to become productive members in a workforce for the rest of their life, which is what they're supposed to be doing. Because if you understand, the majority of your life, you're working in your career. You spend probably more time in your career than you do in your marriage as far as the actual efforts and work and everything else that you do, because you become an employee, you become a slave to the system. And so it becomes an inevitable thing that you have to have a job. But instead of actually preparing you for that work, what they are doing is they are programming you to actually rebel against your family. They don't care what kind of job you get. They do not care about anything. But I'm at a hard break. And so I have to cover more of this when we get back. But I'm going to tell you that they do not care about your kids and what's best for society. They only care about the ends. The ends justify the means. Remember that. And I'll be right back after this. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So I want to jump into a conversation experience I had last night. As I have said several times over different radio shows and so forth, that your kids are being programmed, and they are being programmed to despise their parents, to despise the dogma that their parents are forcing them to learn. And so I had a kind of an awakening, and it actually happened today, but I had an opportunity to sit down with a good man that is a great patriot, and his kids, who he has been struggling with, and It's interesting. I mean, these kids are becoming the precise product that the education system wants them to be. They want them to be dependent upon their parents because they become a drain on their parents. And so he has some kids that aren't really becoming productive. They don't have any appreciation for the value of doing their own work and contributing. They have an entitlement mentality. I wonder where that came from. And the fact is that as you start looking at your own kids, you're going to start recognizing some of these signs. You're going to start recognizing the fact that somehow your kids actually look at you as you are the problem, you are the enemy. When you talk to them about religious doctrines, principles, and those types of things, they truly consider those things dogma. Even though there are centuries and centuries and actual plenty of evidence of the creation, plenty of evidence of the fact that Christianity is literally, and we're living in the last days. I mean, is the Bible just a freak that it's actually predicted, you know, the types and events and so forth that are supposed to happen in the last days? Or is there something to it? And absolutely, there is something to it. And so anyway, as I sat and I had these conversations, you could tell that as the kids were talking to their father, and when their father was asking them questions, you could actually see a hostile reaction in these kids. I mean, it was almost like there was no love, the natural. And go to Matthew 24, because in Matthew 24, Christ talks about what the signs would be of the last days, and that the natural love of the children for their parents will be gone. Is that a freak coincidence, or was the good Lord actually envisioning how evil would have a grasp and how evil would be focusing on destroying families? And so as he was talking, they did not want to engage with him. They didn't want to go any further and so forth. So I kind of jumped in and I tried to drop their guard and engage in conversations. And lo and behold, after I was able to get through to them, they were actually engaging with me and we were having dialogue, and there was a lack of, I clearly perceived that I wasn't being viewed as the enemy because I wasn't their father. And they were actually listening and they were going, uh-huh. And they really couldn't refute what I was saying. And they didn't have this instant, because my father speaks, it must be a lie. I'm telling you, your kids are being programmed, and it is all a part of the indoctrination process. And as I was explaining this to this good patriot last night, this is not something that the teachers actually get up and spew one, in one class, your parents are evil and we're going to prove to this, and they don't have this in their curriculum. But what they do is they do speak of underlying innuendos and so forth regarding traditional values, Christianity, and those types of things. And as I point out to this good patriot, and as I've pointed out to a lot of people, this is a very intricate web of curriculum that has been designed so that your kids get reinforcements from one class to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And they're not necessarily directly tied to each other, so that the kids, they're not connecting the webs, but the webs exist. And so as these kids start going through science, going through literature, going through these things, they are literally reading and understanding how these things are connected and literally become an enemy or the hostile member in the family. And as we have gone through the years, even back in Thomas Jefferson's day, John Adams and his kids and his grandkids, they all were rebellious when they were kids. It's a typical time of life when kids rebel. One of the things I kind of pointed out last night was there are certain attitudes that kids will go through in their life. And the furthest point away a child is from their parents is usually about the time when they're graduating from high school and going into their 20s. What is that critical point in time? Well, that critical point in time, and I'm going to make the connection for you right now, is that is when they join the electoral process. That is when they start to vote. That is when you can use these kids as useful idiots. This is Lenin's Bolshevik Revolution, and they know this. They've been planning and working and slowly turning up the heat to boil our frog for well over a century. The communist movement, as I have said and documented, and there's plenty of documentation. I'm hoping to get this media page up on Reclaiming the Republic so you can start literally looking and connecting the dots. You need to understand that this isn't a coincidence that we're in this situation. This is not a coincidence that our kids have become hostile enemies towards liberty. It is by design. And if you don't wake up and realize this, if you don't have the opportunity to start homeschooling, then I'm going to tell you that you have a tough row to hoe. If evaluate this, look at both what you and your wife do. Is there a way to homeschool? I've got family that does homeschooling, and there's no doubt in my mind you can still see the love of the daughters and sons in that family, because they haven't been programmed. They haven't allowed the doctrine, and I'll even use the dogma, the communist dogma that is being spewed from the teachers. Who are these teachers? Do you understand who the teachers' union is? Do you know that they're the most powerful union in the United States? They have the largest in numbers, and they actually have full access, full unfettered access to your children to be able to tell them and whisper to them and lure them into the ideology that will be destructive to the family, to our society, and to themselves. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that our education system is truly the enemy. And if you have the opportunity to get out, then we have to understand that, you know, there's going to be some sacrifices with that. Our society would be far better off if one parent, or let's look at it this way. Find people in your church, find people in your neighborhood, have these conversations and say, we've got to get out of the school system. We have to. Even though you think it's a good school system, you will start witnessing that your kids are actually your enemies because the school system has made it. And talking to my friend a long time ago regarding his son in California, I asked him, I said, have you talked to him about moving him to a private school? He absolutely rejects it. He thinks that, you know, it'd be the meanest thing he could do, and he would hate him forever. And kids like using the manipulation of hate and those types of things because they've been taught those things. My point is that they know, and they've got a lock on your kids, and your kids are the willing participants in this abuse. It's almost like the battered wife syndrome. If you understand that women somehow become, you know, this sold victim, that I deserve all of this, that I need all of this, they're literally in that space where they can't get away. And it's the same thing with kids. And it's only when you force that, and your kids may hate you for a year, but they will start realizing as they start getting deprogrammed. Why do you think the government is going down this path of creating laws so you, the parent, can't deprogram them from homosexuality and all these other perversions? It's literally because they know that if you can deprogram them, then they do not have all of the weapons that they need to undermine our republic. We only have 1 to 5 years coming up. We still kind of have two, but once that 2020 election comes, it will be the telltale sign. And I'm telling you, look at this election as well. Look at these dark red states and how they just turned a little blue. How is that? Why did they just uptick a little bit of blue? It is because of the kids coming out of the school system. If you've listened, go listen to that John Burberry soundbite that I played a few weeks back when he was having this argument over homosexuality and the agenda in the school system, and how quickly that superintendent got very offensive and literally started defending the fact that they have an obligation to teach these kids their civil rights in teaching them about homosexuality and being tolerant and accepting these things. I have a problem with that, and so should you. But I've got another problem. It's called time, because I've ran out of time for this segment. So if you please stay tuned, I'm going to jump into something else. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, as we kind of leap forward, what I kind of want to do, because there's a lot of other stuff that I need to get into, but I'm going to circle back around on this. I'm not done ranting on our school system and on our kids, on your kids. As a matter of fact, I really pity, and I feel, you know, the Bible says that when they talk about the last days, that you plead that you don't have young child. I would even say that those of you who have kids that are in this evil system, you are being undermined. Your family's being undermined. Your principles, those religious principles that you hold dear, that are family traditions and what have you, that's all being undermined. I want to kind of go into some things, but I'm going to get into those, a little later. What I really wanted to get into today, because I think it's really important that we talk about this, because it's in the news. So this is the one thing I kind of want to highlight right now, because if you didn't know, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, is hearing a case regarding Apple and how it has monopolized access to the iPhone apps and the, iPad or the Apple apps for the Apple devices, that you can only get it from their store. And so SCOTUS is actually hearing the case on this. So the question I have for you is, well, does SCOTUS have jurisdiction on this? Does SCOTUS even recognize the fact that their jurisdiction is questionable? As a matter of fact, if Apple was smart, Apple would say, you don't have jurisdiction. Why wouldn't Apple do that, though? Because obviously nobody is attuned to the limitations of jurisdiction of the federal government. So what would happen if all of a sudden SCOTUS woke up and they realized that, you know, there's plenty of evidence in the document as well as in the ratification process where they clearly illuminated the limitations on the Constitution. And I'm going to recite John Marshall once again for you. But the whole point is, what would happen if all of a sudden SCOTUS woke up and said, hey, you know what? Whoa, that was a close one. We actually have no jurisdiction on this. Sorry, we can't hear this case. So what would happen? All these plaintiffs that are coming forward in this huge class action type of lawsuit, where would they go? Well, they would have to go to the states. They would each have to go to their single states, and then Apple would have to face literally lawsuits, because in all honesty, having to only face a single lawsuit with SCOTUS moving up through the federal system from one state to the next, it makes it easy on Apple to defend themselves. However, if every Apple owner decided that they wanted to become a part of a class action lawsuit in their state and they pursued moving forward, you would literally have 50 different outcomes because this would be a state jurisdiction. Do you understand this? If it's not within the Constitution, it is a state jurisdiction issue. As Madison clearly stated, and I'll bring that up as well because, you know, you can't talk about the jurisdiction and limitations without at least mentioning Madison. And Madison says the powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases. It has legislative powers on defined and limited objects beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction. That means the court system cannot extend its jurisdiction beyond those things that are enumerated within the Constitution. So if you don't like the fact that Apple's not selling you the app in, you know, in all these other stores like Amazon and everywhere else, did you have to go to the Apple store? Well, that's not a federal issue because Apple and the availability of apps and where they're sold and how they're sold or the selling of anything is not enumerated in the Constitution. This is what John Marshall says, and this is a little bit long, but he's pretty clear on this. Mr. Chairman, these, sir, are the points of federal jurisdiction to which he objects. He's talking about probably Patrick Henry. With a few exceptions, let us examine each of them with a supposition that the same impartiality will be observed there as in other courts. And then, if any mischief will result from them, with respect to its cognizance in all cases arising under the Constitution. And this is the killer part. We're not going to go through every single supposition and every single problem. We're just going to go through the cognizance. And it says, with respect to its cognizance in all cases arising under the Constitution and the laws of the United States, he says that the laws of the United States being paramount to the laws of the particular states, there is no case but what this will extend to. Has the government of the United States power to make laws on every subject? And he asks that question rhetorically. Then he asks, does he understand it so? Asking again rhetorically. Can they make laws affecting the mode of transferring property or contracts or claims between citizens of the same state? And he's asking that rhetorically. He goes, and this is the kicker right here. Can they go beyond the delegated powers? Boom. No, they can't. If they were to make a law, not, and this is what Marshall goes on and says after he asks, can they go beyond the delegated powers? Of course they can't. And so he says, if they were to make a law not warranted by any of the powers enumerated, such as we will regulate how you buy products online, we will regulate the sale of wheat as it transfers across states or within your state, we will regulate every nitinoid of commerce and create laws and excise taxes and so forth to basically oppress you. So in other words, that's the kind of law they want to make. So he goes, can they go beyond the delegated powers? If they were to make a law not warranted by any of the powers enumerated, it would be considered by the judges as an infringement of the Constitution, which they are to guard. So I want to stop right here, and I want to ask you about Wicker v. Filburn. If you understand that case, that was, I think, 1943, and a guy by the name of Wicker decided to take, or Filburn, he decided to take himself out of the buying of wheat and decided to grow his own wheat to save money so that he wouldn't have to buy the wheat that was being produced and sold as a commodity across the United States so that he could feed his cattle the wheat. He just wanted to feed his cattle the wheat. The federal government in Wicker v. Filburn decided that he was removing himself from interstate commerce and therefore they could tax his wheat. Now show me in the Constitution where the federal government has that kind of power delegated to it. When they used the term to regulate commerce, that only meant between the states, that only meant to put in good order the flow of commerce amongst the states, not to regulate every nitinoid of commerce, that the federal government is responsible only to step in if a state is claiming that another state is using an unfair advantage. And I'll give you a good example of that. If California creates emission controls and they're not manufacturing their own cars, and they actually start telling to all the manufacturers coming from Michigan and the Carolinas and wherever all these cars are coming from, you have to build cars to this standard. That would actually be a violation of the Commerce Clause because one state cannot dictate how products are to be made in another state. They can't dictate that you can't sell that in their state. Do you understand that? There is a level of freedom of commerce and freedom of markets. States can't use, because there's no there's no such thing as Environmental Protection Agency. It is unconstitutional. If it's not an enumerated power, they can't make laws or regulations for it. And so we've got this huge problem with all of this noncompliance. So I'm going to go on, and what he says here is, and I'll go back and repeat this, if they make a law not warranted by any of the powers enumerated, it would be considered by the judges as an infringement of the Constitution, which they are to guard. They would consider such a law as coming under, they would not consider such a law coming under their jurisdiction. They would declare it void. So in this particular case, as we look at what Apple is doing, and we see Apple is literally pursuing this protection of being able to sell their products and using the federal government and making it very fiscally easy for them to only have to fight this in one court, it only plays to the advantage of Apple. But even if the federal government rules one way or the other, they have no jurisdiction. Whatever their rulings are going to be, and all of the rulings that they have made that they have no jurisdiction over, are all federal tyrannical assertions of power. In other words, they're unconstitutional and they have to be done away with. The only way we can make these things constitutional is either we delegate those things or we start enforcing that the laws of the states be adhered to and managed. I want to get into this tomorrow, and I'm going to cover this because there was a candidate who used Facebook. He paid Facebook to run ads in his local community in certain pages so that Facebook guaranteed that he was going to get these ads ran. Guess what? I don't think Facebook pays a penny in taxes for the revenues that they make in that state in running ads in that state. Isn't that interesting? So I've got one Congress or legislator attuned to actually going after Facebook for all of the money that they make where they don't pay taxes. So we'll be right back tomorrow. So God bless, and make sure you tune in. You're going to want to hear this one.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.